Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. The book of Mark chapter 2. Now, obviously, as I said, I live in Georgia. Now, things are a little different in Georgia. They were supposed to have ice on Tuesday, which there actually was some ice, but, you know, it wasn't, the roads actually weren't as bad as they had predicted, but because they were projected to get ice on Tuesday, they closed school from Tuesday till Friday of last week. So, I know you folks, now all these young people want to move to Georgia, but I do love it down there. The folks are great. It's a great church, and everything I've heard about this church, I've known Brother Reiser. I met him a few years ago, and I met your pastor last year, and it's definitely a privilege to be here with you folks. In spite of the cold, in spite of whatever it may be, I'm glad that you're here in church this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2, and let's stand together. We're going to read a very familiar passage. We're just going to read three verses this morning of Mark chapter 2, and I'd like you please to join me on verse number 2. I will read verse 1 and verse 3. Mark chapter 2, please join me on verse 2. The Bible says, "And again he entered unto Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house altogether, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, God. It really is a privilege. Father, thinking there's so many people around the world that don't have this privilege. Lord, I pray that we would do our part in obedience to your command. I pray, Father, you'd help me this morning. Help me to speak your word. I pray that you would fill me, and I pray, God, that you would help me to speak only what you want me to say. I pray, God, that we would leave changed. If there's someone here that's not saved, Lord, that you would work in their heart, bring conviction, and that they would receive you as their Savior this morning. I pray you'd help every Christian to have a burden to carry someone to Jesus this morning, that we would act on that burden. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray and ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Mark chapter 2, a very, very familiar story, a very good story, a very wonderful story when you think about this. I remember still, as a young child, see the flannograph. Is that what they call those? Do you folks still have those? I remember seeing those. You know, you had the little guy and the little strings, you know, and the little flannographs that you would put that when I was as a child. I remember seeing that story and hearing about that story. Of course, what we know from what happened was is that Jesus had entered into the city and entered into this house, and the Bible says it was noise. They had heard that Jesus was there, that he was going to be preaching. And of course, as you know, Jesus always drew a crowd. Whenever the words of Christ were being spoken, there were people ready to listen. And I'm glad this morning that you're here to hear the words of Christ. They're not my words, they're Christ's words. And praise the Lord that through this, what had happened, God did a great and mighty work. What had happened was is that the whole place was completely packed. There was absolutely no room. They were jam-packed in there. They were squeezed in there like sardines. And as what we know from the story that happened was is that these four men brought a friend of theirs who was a man who was sick of the palsy. He had a physical condition. He needed to get to Jesus. And these four men who were carrying him to Jesus obviously could not make it in the door. There was no room, as I said before. So they improvised. They were quick on their feet. They went and they climbed to the top of the building of the house. And the Bible says that they literally broke up the roof. They literally opened it up. And they lowered this man to Jesus in front of everyone. Everybody was astonished and amazed. But really, the person that truly was marveling was Jesus when he saw their faith. Seeing their faith, Bible says that he looked at that man and he said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This man was saved. Later, this man was healed, and we see a wonderful thing that took place. Now, many of you have heard this story, and you say, "Brother Kyle, well, I've heard this before, and I know exactly what happens. I know this story. How does this really apply to me?" Well, as I said in Sunday school this morning, as a Christian, the reason we come to church is not so that we can leave the way we came, but so that we can change. And the way that we change is when we take truth and we apply that to our lives in a way that it causes us to decide if we're going to stay the way we are or if we're going to change. Every Christian has that choice this morning. Every one of us has to decide if we are going to. Yeah, and I like those. You see certain trends when you see modern churches. You know, one of them is the point. Everything is a P-O-I-N-T-E. If you're going to start your church with that name, I'm sorry. But, you know, you see different things like that. One of the trends that I got a card for one time, it says, "Come as you are." And it had this picture of somebody with these clown shoes. Now, I didn't see anybody at the door that was checking to see if you had clown shoes. And if you did, they were going to kick you out. I did not see that here, okay, folks? But the point is that no matter how we come, we should leave different. We should leave changed. This man obviously left very, very changed. And while we know there's one interpretation for every scripture, there are many applications that we can draw from scripture and apply those to our lives so that we can live the Christian life that Christ intended us to live. So what I want to bring to your attention this morning is three different types of people. Three different types of people, and I want you to be honest with yourself. If you cannot be honest with yourself, especially in church, I don't know where or who you can be honest to yourself about. But these three kind of people are in every single kind of church. These three kind of people really is what we saw in the scripture here. And when you ask yourself, which person are you? The next question you should ask yourself is, which one do you want to be? Let's look at what the scripture says here. Look at verse 3 here. We'll see the first type of person, the first kind of person that we see here this morning. Look at verse 3, the first part of it. It says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the," what's that word there, folks? So this man who was sick of the palsy, this man who had a physical problem, is the first type of person that we see, the man who's sick of the palsy. Obviously, he had a physical condition. He was a cripple. He had a literal physical problem. He didn't have some made-up disease or something that the doctors were trying to drug him up. He had a true problem. Back in those days, cripples had very little uses. Many times, someone who, especially in cultures outside of the Jewish culture, if a child many times was born crippled or with a disease, they would a lot of times abandon that child or even kill or sacrifice that child. And I'm glad, folks, that Christ didn't do that with us. Amen. He could have very easily did it, but he did not, and I'm so glad that he didn't. I'm sure he had heard of Jesus' power to heal. I'm sure he tried all the different doctors, and maybe he had gone and tried all the different prescriptions. Maybe he was on some kind of health diet, or he was trying some kind of, you know, new prescription, or seeing all the best doctors. I don't know why he had this physical problem. The Bible doesn't explain why it happened, but we know that he had it. Maybe he had tried and seen his primary care physician. Maybe the problem was he was on the Obamacare website, and it just wasn't working fast enough, so that's why he had. I don't know exactly what the problem was. But the fact remains is that this man had a physical condition. It was obvious. It was clear. It was something that he and his friends knew needed to be addressed. But beyond his physical condition, there was a condition that went much deeper. This man had a spiritual condition. This man had a condition that went beyond flesh and bone, that went beyond what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel. This man had a spiritual condition, a condition that every single person is born with. A condition that causes you and I to fall short of the glory of God and deserve a place called hell. This man needed to be saved. Regardless of the doctors he may have tried, regardless of the religions he may have tried, regardless if he was a good Jew or if he was somebody who tried to be a good person and follow the Ten Commandments, regardless, none of that mattered if he did not have the one physician that could heal his spiritual condition. That spiritual condition of salvation. It seems like our world nowadays is trying so many different things. We are so absorbed and obsessed with pluralism nowadays. Just recently, we heard the president talk about in his speech how we embrace pluralism and we need more of that. Folks, I'll tell you right now that pluralism, what that is when people say that you can, there's so many different ways to heaven, and you just, as long as you're believing what you want to believe and I'm believing what I'm believing, we're not chopping each other's heads off, because we know Islam doesn't do that. But if we all just, you know, it's all going to be fine. Folks, that's a lie from the devil. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, he wasn't saying, but you know, there are a few frontage roads or side roads or some twist and turn roads that go near and they'll get you to the same place eventually. I'm sorry, but if you drive south, you're eventually at some point, if you take the right turn, going to get to Georgia. If you head north, it's not going to happen. I guess you could go all the way around the globe, but I don't recommend trying that. Folks, listen. There is only one way to heaven. And this man, regardless of what he had tried, there is one person who could heal him of his spiritual condition. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This man had a spiritual condition. Yes, he had a physical condition. But Jesus looked beyond what he wanted and saw what he truly needed. Many times we fall into that trap as Christians. Now, I know this first person I'm talking about is the person who's unsaved. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe it's your first service here. Maybe it's your 1,000th service here. But we need to be honest with ourselves. Because regardless if you're sitting in church, regardless, I don't care who you're, if your grandpa was a Baptist preacher, I don't care any of that. What matters is if you have had that confrontation with the Savior and received Him. But many times as Christians, what we fail to do is we look at what we want rather than what he sees is our need. And he saw that this man, yes, he had a physical need, but he saw beyond that to a spiritual need. There's a lot of need out there in this world, but I'll tell you what the greatest need is. It's not for food, and there are people that are starving that need food. It's, listen, folks, it's not for world peace. This world needs a Savior. And the Savior came and died and rose again so that folks like you and I that had a spiritual, that were sick of the palsy spiritually could be saved. Are you glad you're saved this morning? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad when I was a young boy, my dad took a Bible and showed me from the Word of God how I can know for sure that I was saved. I remember sitting in the little house in Illinois, and it was cold, and we had the oven going, and for some reason, we didn't care about carbon monoxide or anything. We were standing right by the oven and trying to stay warm, and I asked him, is this how hot hell is? And folks, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that I'll never be able to find out because he saved me that day. If you've never been saved, then as I said earlier, there's no point in being in church if you're going to leave the way you came. Don't put it off. Don't fool yourself. Now, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. Your pastor actually said something excellent. It's actually another thing that's actually stuck with me when he talked about how a lot of times as Christians, when we get away from God, we stop hearing God. So a lot of times we question our salvation. But the truth is you know. You know if you're truly saved. You can try to put up a front, you can try to lie to everybody, but there's one person you won't be able to lie to, and that's him. The brother sang that song, and that was excellent. Is the devil going to have a case against you? Is he going to be able to look at you and say, oh, well, you did all these good things, but you weren't saved? Or is he going to throw thing after thing after you, and at the end of the day, all Christ has to do is say, he received me, and he's covered by the blood. He's washed by the blood of the Lamb. Folks, the first kind of person that we see this morning is the man who is sick of the palsy, but the man who needs Christ as a Savior. Let's look at the second kind of person this morning. Look at verse 3 again. Let's look at the second half of that verse. But in verse 3, it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of, what's that last word? The second kind of person that we see, the second type of person that was here, is the one of four. One of the four friends, now we don't know exactly who these men were. The Bible does not say. I've heard some preachers say he believed that they were disciples. I don't know. The Bible just says that they were four friends. These four friends, there was something different about them. There was something that was driving them beyond what anybody else was doing. I'll give you a little hint. Now, I do not like, is there anybody like sports here? I saw a man with a Cubs jacket. Where, brother? Amen. Trust me, it's hard being a Cubs fan, okay? Folks, you need to pray for us, okay? At least the Blackhawks have been winning for me, but but the Cubs, man, I do not like when people ruin the end of games for me. I don't like it. I don't like when people ruin the ending, okay? If I'm recording, I do not want to know what the score is. If you do, I'm pretty sure that might be in Revelation 22 is one of the reasons you lose your salvation or something along those lines. But I'll ruin the story for you right now. This is the person you want to be, okay? If this is the person you are, you want to ask God to help you continue to be like this, but this is the person that every Christian should aspire and ask God to help them to be. These four friends, there was something different about them. As a matter of fact, these four friends showed these qualities that no one else was showing. As a matter of fact, these four friends were the only people in the entire place that caused Jesus to marvel at their faith. Think about that for a second. We're talking about Pharisees, scribes, tons of people ready to hear Jesus, disciples there, yet four friends, four ordinary people were the ones who were able to make Christ marvel. What did these men have? Look at verse 3, what it says. It says, which was born. That means carried. That means was lifted. These four men, first off, they had a heart of sacrifice. These men had a heart that was said, I am going to put the needs of someone else first. I am going to be the person who carries someone to Jesus regardless of what my own wants, what my own desires, what my own needs may be. There's someone else who needs Christ. We look around at our world, and I talked a little bit about this in Sunday school about sacrifice. We look at a world, we look across the street, we look all around and say, you know what? Yes, folks need Jesus. Yes, we need more churches. Yes, we need Christ to save more people. Yes, we need this, and this. But so many times do we get focused in our own world, so focused in our own little shell that we cut everything else out and fail to realize the sacrifice that's demanded in order for us to reach this world. You look at people like in the Philippines that literally are people that are in their 60s crying in the services because they can't give their lives to God. They can't be preachers or they can't do any of that anymore because they're so far in their age and they're weak physically. And they're crying after they walked 3 miles to church. Yet many times we don't want to sacrifice to carry someone to Jesus. Folks, we have to get out of our shell. Folks, listen, we have to get out of our own little world and realize that if we're going to carry someone to Jesus, if we're going to be like these four friends, we have to have a heart of sacrifice, a heart that's willing to give of ourselves, a heart that's willing to say, no matter what I have, it's God's and I'm going to give it to someone else. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose. Not only do these men have a heart of sacrifice, but these men also had a mind that was set. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You see, these men, not only did they have a heart of sacrifice, but their mind was set on bringing this man to Jesus. Think about this. How many of us, if we were carrying, if this person, you know, we meet someone, we know someone, and by the way, it's not just when you're knocking doors, it's all the time. We, as Christians, should always be ready to witness, always be ready. It shouldn't just be like, well, it's not, you know, 10:30 on Saturday. I can't witness to this person right now. My goodness. You know, it's not bus calling, so I'm at work. No. It's not something that, it's Christian life is 24/7, by the way. And ye shall be witnesses unto me is 24/7 as well. But having a mind that's set, it keeps us from doing what many of us may have done, where we're carrying, think about it, they're carrying this guy. And I don't know, he's heavy. He doesn't walk, so I mean, I imagine he, back then, you didn't walk, you mean you didn't eat, so he was probably very skinny, but I don't know, maybe he wasn't very skinny, and maybe he was heavy, maybe it was a difficult burden to carry him, but here they are, they're carrying him, they get to the door of the house, and it's packed. I mean, you can barely see through, you can hear the noise, you can smell the people in there. And they're trying to peek in, they're trying to push through, and then, man, Joe, I don't know, let's name him Joe. Joseph, pretty popular name. Sorry, Joe, we tried. You know, we tried to get you in there to Jesus, but you know what? Next time, you know, I'm sure he'll come back in town again. You know, maybe he's been talking about this 3-day thing. Hopefully that doesn't happen yet. And we'll get you there, you know, some other time. You know what? We gave it the good old college try. Sorry. No, these men said this man needs to be brought to Jesus. These men carried him out of sacrifice, but their mind was so focused and so set that no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what came into their way, they went on top of a roof and went as far as destroying private property to get this man to Jesus. How often do we make excuses? How often do we say, I can't? And you know, I know that there's exceptions. I know there's some folks that cannot be here that want to be here this morning. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, as Christians, often, so often do we allow our excuses to get in the way of carrying someone to Jesus. We allow our excuses of looking at others and saying, you know what, that person really doesn't want to hear about Jesus, and letting that get in the way. So many times do we hold back what God wants to do in our lives, because we're willing to settle for less. Do you realize that God can use you the same way that he used those four men? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Maybe not. It's okay if you don't believe it. I mean, you're not saying it to me. Folks, these men had a mind that was set that said, regardless of what happens, I'm going to get this man to Jesus. I think of someone else who didn't allow any obstacle to stop him. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto, let's try that again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What if Jesus would have made an excuse? What if Jesus would have said, I can't, it's too hard, and believe me, it was hard. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. I'm so glad Christ went through Calvary. But we won't go across the street. We won't talk to somebody at work. We won't talk to that person at the grocery store. We won't go out and knock doors. We won't get on a bus and invite somebody to church. Folks, do you realize this isn't going to happen on its own? Do you realize that Christ, when he left, he commanded you and I to do it? Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? What did he say? He said, send Lazarus. If somebody comes from the dead, they're going to believe. I don't know. Abraham said, no, if Lazarus pops out of the ground, if they didn't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe him. Folks, he didn't call angels to do it. He didn't call zombies to do it. He called you and I as Christians to bring someone to Jesus. These four men had a heart of sacrifice. They had a mind that was set, but most important of all, they knew their Savior. Look at verse 5. In verse 5 it says, when Jesus saw their, what's that word? Faith. But let's take a step back. When Jesus saw whose faith?
Their faith.
When he saw their faith. Not the faith of that man. Now yes, that man was saved because he had faith in Christ. But what caused Jesus to marvel, look what it says. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven these men had a heart of sacrifice. They had a mind that was set. But folks, listen. They knew the one who could save. See, it's not through our ability or effort. It's through His power that lives are changed. You think about this for a second. We're saved by faith. Amen? And we're to live by faith. Yet how often, as Christians, do we look out at the world and we would never say, God can't save that person? Would anybody here this morning say, Brother Kyle, I believe that God, there's certain people God can't save, okay? God can and does want to save everyone. He said it multiple times in the Bible. There should not be any confusion about that. But you know how we rationalize that in our minds? What we do is we look at somebody, maybe they're covered in tattoos, maybe they're different, and we look at them and we say, they wouldn't want to get saved. Do you know that is the same thing as saying Christ couldn't save them? Do you realize that? Because by you saying that they wouldn't want to get saved is saying that the scripture and the gospel doesn't have the same power to save that person as it did to save you. These men knew if we can just get this man to Jesus, Christ can save him. Christ can heal him. Christ can do anything. And so many times do we look at a world and say, you know what? Things are different. Things are harder. Things aren't the same they were when I was a young man or when I was a young lady. Things are different nowadays. They don't care about the gospel. They don't care about what Jesus says. They don't care about the Bible anymore. But I tell you, we serve the same God today as they served back then. And that same God has the same power to save. But you know what He's looking for? Christians with faith. You know what faith really, truly is? It's trusting and obeying. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. I mean, really, that's what it is. Say, Brother Kyle, I want to be like these. I want to be like these four friends. I want to be like these people. Folks, listen, you have to have that heart of sacrifice, that mind that's set, but you have to have faith in that Savior. Say, Brother Kyle, I'm not a man or a lady of great faith. That faith is proven when you obey, when you take that step out there. You don't have to be the super Christian. You don't have to know all the Bible and have it memorized. You just have to be willing to step out on faith. Hudson Taylor said, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. Put your faith into action through obedience and see what God will do. Let's look at the final kind of person and we're finished. The third type of person. The first person was the man that was sick of the palsy. And that kind of person is the person who is not what? Saved. And it would not surprise me, and I hope that everyone here is saved, but if we're honest, there's probably someone or some folks that aren't saved. The second kind of person is one of four. The person who is actively bringing someone to Jesus. And by the way, anyone can do it. By the way, everyone should do it. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the bus director, for the youth pastor. It's for you. It's for me. But the third kind of person, look at verse 2 again. We'll see the third kind of person. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto. What's that word? The third kind of person is the person that's saved, that's hearing the word of God, that's in God's house. And by the way, those are all wonderful things. Yes, they have their Bible with them, and yes, they're there. As a matter of fact, they're there and they're crammed in there. They don't care. They want to hear Jesus. But the third kind of person is the person, the Christian, that is simply taking up space. I want to give you a different picture for a moment here, folks. Let's just imagine that here they are, they're carrying the man that's sick of the palsy, and they're trying to get in. They've been carrying him, who knows for how far or how long. These four men, they are determined to get him to Jesus. And they get at the door, and all of a sudden it's jam-packed. There's no room. There's the fire marshal, I'm sure, is pulling his hair out because it's so packed. And they start to tap on somebody's shoulder trying to get in, and all of a sudden, someone who's at the back trying to see over someone else's shoulder turns around and sees this man and sees this man's obvious need to get to Jesus. And immediately this man starts to think that we got to get this guy to Jesus somehow. All of a sudden he taps somebody else on the shoulder. That person says, man, we got to get, and they all of a sudden start picking this man up, and the four friends behind start to push him up. The guy in front of him starts tapping someone else, and they begin to carry this man as a group, everyone carrying this man to Jesus. Folks, it could have been the first body surf of all time. And they all carry this man. You know who Jesus would have marveled at? Not at their faith, but at their faith. What if, as these men are trying to bring this man to Jesus, they turn behind and there's scores of other people carrying other souls to Jesus? You see, too often, are we so focused on ourselves and on our needs that we settle for simply taking up space? We fail to see the need of a world that's dying and going to hell, and we're content with doing nothing. You say, Brother Kyle, I want to do something for Christ. I want to do something. Folks, we have to have the attitude of those four friends. We have to have and make a decision that we are going to be like those carrying others to Jesus. When Christ left, he gave us a command. That command was to go into all the world, preach the gospel. That command was to teach them to observe all things. That command was to win, baptize, disciple, to train them. That command was to carry others to Jesus. And we have a responsibility to go beyond our own little world to bring someone to Christ. You say, Brother Kyle, we live in a small community. Folks, there's someone out there waiting for you to bring them to Jesus. Maybe they're waiting for someone to come and show them from the Word of God how they can be saved. Maybe they're just waiting for someone to pick them up on a bus and bring them to church. Folks, what decision are you going to make? Many times we make excuses. Many times there's so many things that get in the way. Sometimes it's out of convenience. Folks, you know what's inconvenient? That people are dying and going to hell. Hudson Taylor, the missionary that I mentioned earlier, was a missionary in China, won thousands of people, millions of people. It was crazy what God did through him. His son wrote a story about him, how he was actually on he was getting ready to cross a river with a man that he had won to the Lord named Peter. And as they were waiting to cross this murky river, he was looking at some of the fishermen just kind of waiting and watching as they were on the dock. All of a sudden, he looked over, and as he was watching some of these fishermen, he heard a sound. And fear immediately began to grip his heart as he remembered that Peter could not swim, and he was just praying that it was not Peter. And he looked and he saw that Peter had fallen, and it was pretty good height, fallen into the water and was drowning. Hudson Taylor, in near panic, began to try to find anything he could use to try to pull Peter out. He looked over at the fishermen and began to think, those nets, that's perfect. If I can just, if they have those nets that can pull him out of the water and save his life. He called over to the fisherman and he said, please, my friend is drowning. Please, will you go over there and pull him out with your nets? The fishermen turned their head and they just looked at him and said, Vibin, which means in Chinese, it's not convenient. He said, how can you speak of convenience? This man's life is at stake. Please. They said, we're too busy. Almost with the beginning to have anger, but desperation. He yelled to him, he said, please, I'll pay you. Now, of course, that got their attention. They said, how much? He said, $5 American. And they said, it's not enough. With the thoughts of his friend drowning, he said, I'll give you everything I have in my wallet. He says, $14. And they looked at each other and said, okay. They got their little canoe and lowered their nets, pulled Peter out of the water, and as Hudson Taylor looked at the lifeless body of his friend, after failed attempts to bring him back, he thought, isn't the soul more valuable than the flesh? Isn't eternity greater than the now? May convenience never keep us from bringing someone to Jesus. May we have a burden, a heart, a desire, a sacrifice for this world that needs, you folks realize, it needs you. You may be the only person that can bring that someone to Jesus. And God is waiting on you. Gone be the days that we simply decide to sit down and take up space, but we as Christians commit ourselves to carry someone else's burden and bring them to Jesus. God wants to use you. And he can. He can use anybody. I'll finish with this story. There is a missionary in Africa who had been in Africa for several years, and he won a little blind African lady to the Lord. One day, this little African lady, she said, can I please have a Bible? The missionary, kind of wondering why she would want a Bible. She obviously, you know, very uneducated, did not know how to read. Obviously couldn't see, and she didn't know how to read Braille either, but he gave her a regular Bible, and she said, would you please underline John 3:16? Began to puzzle the missionary even more, but he went ahead and underlined it in red ink. Put a bookmark there in the Bible for her, figuring she just probably wanted it to put it in her little hut or something like that. One day, curiosity got the best of the missionary. He decided to follow the little lady. And the little blind African lady would go every day and walk outside of a boys' school. As the young men would leave the school, she would call out to one of them to come and help her. Seeing she was an elderly lady and that she was blind, a young man would stop by and she would say, would you please help? She said, do you know how to read French? The young man would reply, well, yes, I do. She would open the Bible to where it was marked and she would say, will you please read what's underlined? I'm blind and I cannot read. He would read, for God so loves the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. She would ask, she said, do you understand what you've just read? They would reply, no, I don't. She would look at them with a smile, or at least look towards them with a smile, and say, well, let me tell you what that means. That missionary said that when he left the field years later, and that little old blind saint had already gone to heaven, there were 24, not saved folks, pastors that had been saved because of a little blind, illiterate African lady. She had a heart of sacrifice. She had a mind that said, I don't care if I'm blind, it's not going to keep me from bringing someone to Jesus. And she had faith that the Savior could change anyone. So my question for you this morning is this: who are you? If you're that first person this morning and you're not saved, get that settled today. Someone will be glad to take you a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you've been going to this church for a long time. Maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an old person, but you're willing to be honest today. Maybe you're like one of those four friends already. Say, God, I already believe that I'm like one of those four friends. Ask God to help you to continue to be faithful. But sadly, that's not the rule. Do you realize that the disciples weren't the ones that Christ marveled at? The disciples were the ones that were sitting there enjoying the front row seats. Maybe this morning you need to look at yourself and say, God, I'm tired of simply taking up space. Please use me to carry someone to Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that you can change lives and you can change hearts. Please help us, Father. Work in my heart and my life. Help us to realize who those people are and that they're all around us. And give us a desire and a burden to reach them, whether they be across the street, whether they be on the other side of this planet. Use us in every way you can. In your name I pray and ask. Amen.